Hi, I'm Amon.
And I'm Lena.
Welcome to Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
Yes, we do. So relevant. And so geeky.
Oh my gosh. Amon, what are we talking about today?
So today, we're going to do another superhero smorgasbord special.
Woohoo!
And the topic we're covering this week is?
That's for you to say.
Oh, yeah,
I thought you were going to do the whole topic. Okay, well, the question we have posed for this week's superhero smorgasbord episode is, who would you send to the UN Climate Change Conference? Also known as COP26. What does COP26 stand for again?
Conference of Parties. And this would be the 26th Conference of Parties. Oh,
so it literally changes every year. Like, it's going to be COP27, COP28.
Yes.
COP29. It's funny because, like, who likes cops? So it's like, why? Why are you? Anyway, not the greatest acronym. Conference of parties. This could be about anything. It could just be another Comic-Con.
To be completely honest with you, the international community is not as good at coming up with fancy acronyms as like congresses, you know, with like the Patriot Act, you know,
comics. Like, it's not as cool as the comic book.
Yeah, name. Like S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, like, you know, somebody bent over backwards to make that S.H.I.E.L.D. acronym work. All right. But for like the international community, you know, the whole Iran nuclear deal from a number of years ago, the official name of that was the Joint Action Plan or something like that. And it was like the JAP.
That's awful.
JPCOA or something. It's completely slipping my mind right now.
Because it's so boring.
Why it's slipping my mind, because it's so boring. Like, it's just not what they do. Cool. Probably because you have to translate it into so many languages. Like, like, people aren't focused on trying to make the acronym work in English. You know, I mean, half the time it's like, it may be like a great acronym, but in French, you know?
Right. Yeah.
so when you get into English, it's just super, super boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're doing this because COP26 is happening right now, started on Halloween, which I thought was appropriate because climate change is scary, guys. And it goes until November 12th. So I don't know about you, but I've literally never paid attention to COP26, 25, 24, whatever, you know, like all the years previous.
Right. Right.
I don't know. I personally have not really paid attention to it, but clearly this year, everyone, it seems like, is paying attention because we're in a pandemic and the world is both on fire and drowning at the same time. So, yeah.
Well, to be fair, that's been happening for a while.
This isn't the
first year that everything's been on fire and drowning.
But it is the first year that all of that is happening during a pandemic.
That's true. That's true. But I don't know. When the last few COPs were happening, it was a pretty big deal. I guess at those times, I was a lot more involved professionally in what was happening globally. So maybe that's why it kept coming up on my radar.
Maybe I'm just like not remembering. I don't know.
Well, that's because it usually doesn't have that big of an impact, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, or if it does, it's very slow moving kind of impact. You know, I mean, that's why the Paris Climate Accords from a number of years ago, from 5-6 years ago, was such a big deal.
Yeah.
Is because it was pulled out of the sort of regular cycle in recognition of how serious the issue of climate change was. And it did this interesting thing of pulling voluntary pledges from countries to try to combat climate change at a global scale. So that was why the Paris Climate Accords were a bigger deal. And then Trump came into power and completely just
obliterated it. Yeah.
Yeah, just completely pulled out of it. But at the same time, it was still powerful because it was so voluntary. All right. Mm-hmm. That just because the US pulled out of it didn't mean that anybody else felt like they needed to pull out of it. Yeah. And even within the US, individual states and cities were like, nope, we're still gonna keep at it with, you know, adjusting our policies to meet America's commitment to the Paris Climate Accords, and we don't care what the president has to say. Yeah. So, you know, in a sense, the Paris Climate Accords were more impactful than the Conference of Parties have been in the past, yeah, in my opinion.
Yeah. Which is why it's like, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, all the news that's coming out of it now, I think you and I are both wondering, okay, is it actually going to happen? Like, you know, are y'all actually going to do what you're saying you're going to do?
Yeah. I mean, see. I have a lot of theories on that, but that's not why we're here today. No. I think we should just get into the superhero part of this smorgasbord.
Right. So who would you send to the UN Climate Change Conference, the Conference of Parties?
So 26. I was actually, when I was thinking of which heroes, I was more thinking about how particular heroes would react if they were at COP26.
Yeah.
And the first person who obviously comes to mind is Aquaman.
Nice. Yes,
but
very true.
But here's the funny thing about that, though. Most of the emphasis of COP26 is on atmospheric pollution and not ocean pollution.
Oh, really? So they're not focused at all on ocean pollution? Why don't I know this?
Methane, carbon dioxide,
okay,
global warming, climate change.
Okay.
The ocean is still impacted because most of the carbon dioxide that's emitted actually gets absorbed into the ocean. And I think it speaks to how much carbon dioxide humanity is putting into the air, given that global average temperature is still tracking upwards, that the ocean can't absorb all that carbon dioxide. Yeah. So, yes. It still does impact the ocean in a sense.
And it's horrifically impacting like coral reefs.
Yes.
And as one example.
As one example amongst many. But yes. Aquaman.
Right. Aquaman's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
Thank you. And
I'm totally imagining Jason Momoa Aquaman.
Yes.
And, you know, I can like feel the rage and anger he would bring to this conference. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you look at Aquaman's depictions in other media, whether it's in comics or I'm actually thinking of Justice League, actually.
The
cartoon Justice League. And his entrance on that show was to show up at the UN and threaten the entire world with all-out war.
Ooh, ha, that's if really they funny.
Didn't stop. Yeah, if they didn't stop dumping their trash into the ocean.
That's great. I think that's so what's needed. Honestly,
I think that if anything, climate change is proof that Atlantis doesn't exist as an existing civilization.
Yeah.
Because if it did, we would have been at war. The surface world that's would have so been true. At war with Atlantis decades ago.
That's so decades true. Ago.
Damn. You remember the entire premise in the Aquaman movie, which was that Ocean Master was trying to consolidate power and also start a war against the surface world. Like they staged a whole thing with the nuclear submarine and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
If the topic had been pollution, they wouldn't have needed a nuclear sub. It would have just happened. Everybody would have been like, yeah, we're down. Let's go fuck these bitches up.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. That's really funny. Yeah. I would like to see that happen. And yeah, it makes me sad that Atlantis probably doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's what I think would be happening. And okay. Jason Momoa, I think actually Jason Momoa, if he actually was the king of Atlantis.
Yeah.
Just him as him probably would have done the exact same thing.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah. That's yeah. Honestly. Yeah. I agree.
Cause he's cool like that.
Yeah. Okay. So
yours?
My superhero person, very obvious who I thought of, obviously you would have to send Captain Planet.
Captain Planet. Ooh. Yeah,
obviously. Because, and I just, yeah. I don't think his tactic would be like Aquaman aggression, but it would be like a lot of punny jokes.
Oh my God. I can just imagine Captain Planet in front of the entire conference saying, "The power is yours."
Yeah, literally. So I don't really know how effective he would be, but I also think he would just use his magical powers to like just sort of round up all the world leaders and like take them on, you know, like he would do some weird shit of like taking him around the world on a tour to be like, look at what your bullshit decisions are doing to the planet, you know, now do something. And
you know how we always make fun of Mati for having the stupidest power?
Yes. But it's actually that's actually what would be needed. Yeah.
That would be the most useful thing.
Yeah. No,
on this.
I don't know.
At the conference.
I feel bad for making fun of Mati so much as a kid, because now I'm just like, oh my God, please. We need him so much all over the world for everything. Like,
see, here's the thing. Okay. I don't feel bad for making fun of him because he's hilarious. And the way they show his power is such a joke. All right.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it's a joke based on the situations they put them in. They put the Planeteers in. Mm-hmm. All right. But if this was happening in real time and Mati was now an adult and still had the heart ring, I would absolutely screw Captain Planet. I would send Mati to the conference of parties.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. That's who I need.
And that would actually be useful.
I guess I mean Captain Planet and the Planeteers. So there.
Should we're be the sent. Planeteers. You can be one too. Because saving our planet is the thing to do. All right. Only, sorry. Sidetrack.
Okay. All right. Who else would you send?
Oh, man. You know, I keep wondering how Captain America Steve Rogers would handle this.
He was on my list. He was also on my list. Both captains. Have to send both captains. Okay, yeah. So, yes, go on. Continue.
But I don't know how he would react, to be honest. Because if you think about it, you know, like, half of the country. So one of Captain America's things is that he tries to stick to the ideals that are shared by all Americans. All right. Climate change and feeling a responsibility to do something about it is just not something that is shared by all Americans. So I don't know if he would want to be, would agree to be the face of America.
I mean, let's be real. Neither is equality an ideal that's shared by all Americans, yet he still stands up for that. And that's for things true. Like civil rights and stuff, you know, like he stands against racism. And there are a lot of Americans who are for racism, you know, or the benefits that are reaped from racism, whether they know it or not, in a society that has it. So
that's true. That's true. But, you know, there are a lot of people who really don't feel like we should be bound by commitments and obligations made by the international community. You know, I think for Captain America, he would want to appeal to Americans to say like, hey, everybody take personal responsibility, you know, like let's do something about this because we all have a stake in this world. But I don't know if he would want to be the face of America making commitments on behalf of America.
But that's the issue, right? We've talked about this before in previous episodes, but you know how the whole very idea of recycling actually came about from corporations, because were the ones who were producing plastic and they were like, oh shit, okay, maybe we should like have some campaign to make people feel better about using our products. And so whatever, you know, and while yes, I'm sure he would, I think Captain America would go around trying to appeal to Americans to be like, yes, guys, climate change is real and it is impacting communities all over the world and America. You know, like I think he would, he would totally do stuff like that. I also think he would want to hold corporations and governments accountable for the huge, huge, huge responsibility that they have. And it's mostly their doing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, me choosing to take a tote bag to the grocery store, while it's very nice, you know, because I'm not trying to use plastic. Sure. You know what? I just did something to give myself a pat on the back, but guess what? It's not actually doing anything to curb climate change, right, you know, on a big scale. Right. So I think he would, and I am doing this based on the Captain America Civil War arc, you know, where he very much was going against the rules and what the government was saying and stuff, because he was trying to do what he thought was right.
Yes, that's
true. I think he would, you know, be all about, like, you know, he would recognize what is the right thing, who are the people who are responsible that need to be held accountable, like corporations, and governments and stuff, but still try to appeal to the common man.
Yeah, that's true. I think you're right. I think that is what he would do. I concede.
Thank you. Yes, I thought a lot about Captain America, as I'm always thinking about Captain America. I love him. He's great.
Okay. Your turn.
So he was going to be my second person, but another person who I'm randomly thinking of, but haven't fully thought it through, is Storm from X-Men.
Huh. Okay.
I don't know what she would. The only thing I thought of is, like, she controls the weather, and I feel like she's maybe got some thoughts on the weather lately.
Yeah.
And patterns. I don't know. I didn't think this one through. I don't know.
I think so. But at the same time, you know, it would be so easy. And I think Storm would recognize that, you know, she would be pulled into a conspiracy theory. Where in the world that she exists in, you know, mutants are not trusted by people. If she showed up at COP26, I think that there would be a lot of people all over the world who would just be like, well, how do we know it's not you causing all the super storms?
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Man, humans suck. They really do with all their fucking conspiracy theories and shit.
Yeah, people are shitty and Facebook don't help.
No. Man. All right. Well, who else are you thinking of?
Who else am I thinking of? I was wondering how would Batman deal with this?
Batman, it also crossed my mind as well.
I think Batman wouldn't do anything, but Bruce Wayne would show up at COP26 and use the monetary power of the Wayne Foundation to extort greater commitments from countries.
Yeah, that's interesting.
As powerful and wealthy as the Gates Foundation is, for some reason, the Wayne Foundation in the world of comic books seems to be a lot more influential.
Yeah, that's true. Interesting. What does the Wayne Foundation do?
I guess whatever Bruce Wayne wants them to.
No, but like, you know, like the Gates. Yeah, like the Gates Foundation is all about like health initiatives and things like that, you know.
Global
health, you know, like global public health is their thing. What's the Wayne Foundation's thing?
That is definitely the Gates Foundation, the Gates Foundation's big thing, but they have also made a lot of investments in new startup technologies. Like, I know that they have invested in this company that does renewable energy with improving solar power.
Right.
Actually, the Wayne Foundation, as best as I can tell, they just go in to different countries that have been devastated and just try to help with like rebuilding efforts and stuff, and probably fund a bunch of orphanages because, you know, that's Bruce Wayne's thing.
Yeah.
Orphans.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. That's interesting. I feel like Batman would still come into the mix, like if he needs to blackmail someone,
what's he gonna do, like pop out from behind a column and just be and just like like hang some foreign dignitary by the ankles and be like, fix this?
I feel like he would use Batman for R&D purposes. Like if he needs some research done, but he can't access it and he needs to sneak into some building, you know, that kind of thing.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe expose some of the bullcrap science that's being used.
Right. Something like that. You know, like he would totally still use Batman for those kinds of things to help his agenda as Bruce Wayne.
Ooh. I like that.
Right?
Batman as true ninja and spy.
Yeah.
So before we started recording, I shared this article from the Washington Post with you that really gets into a lot of the shenanigans that are used by, in terms of numbers, for countries to try to make commitments and try to present themselves in a better light than they actually are. So for example, one of the funky things that's being done is that carbon emissions by particular countries are those emissions are subtracted, are decreased based on how much forest already exists. So one of the examples in this article was Malaysia, where I think they said the country emits 455 million metric tons of CO2 every year, but because they have a lot of forest, they are able to claim that they only emit 85 billion metric tons of CO2 every year, you know? So then the thing is that how you do that measurement matters, because their commitments to reduce their carbon emissions doesn't have to be as great to look better than it actually is.
Right. Okay. You know?
So I think that we'll link this article in the show notes, but this is where I'm going with this. All right.
Yeah.
These are the sort of funky statistical numbers that are often used by anybody trying to look better than they actually do. All right. And to make less of a commitment than they really should. Now, you remember the Facebook papers that were leaked a few weeks ago? The big thing about that was, like, there was nothing in there that didn't confirm what all of us already suspected about how Facebook operates. But one of the big things that came, that was revealed, was that the leadership and Facebook as a company knew the harm that they were causing. And actively chose to ignore it or somehow circumvent it or do some kind of a PR thing to
Meta.
to make it seem not so bad, you know? Yeah. And I think that going back to your point, Bruce Wayne would probably use his Batman skills to go all around the world and then basically reveal that, like, hey, you country, you know what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
Shape up.
But then, and then Aquaman would come in to help them shape up.
No, and I'll tell you why. All right. Why? Aquaman would show up with an Atlantean tank. I don't think he would try to shape up anybody to fix up their act. He would just be like, your actions are a declaration of war. We are attacking you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Fair.
All right. That's the difference there. I don't think Aquaman would be trying to get anybody to change their minds. He would just be like, you're done for. I'm waging war. You're dead.
Right. So, I mean, this is where, okay, just getting into more real world stuff right now. But like, this is what is so depressing. These Facebook papers came out. Things are revealed about various companies, corporations, whatever, that like, oh, wow, they're actually even shittier than we thought. And then as an average person, I'm like, cool, what am I supposed to do now? Like, what is anyone going to do anything? Are we not? We're cool with this. Okay. Like what, you know, it's just, it feels very like, okay, now what? And is anyone actually going to be held accountable?
So here's the funny thing about capitalism. In a world of capitalism, we vote with our pocketbooks. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you don't like what a company is doing, you don't buy their product. All right.
Yeah.
Now, the weird thing about the age of the internet and Facebook in particular is that they are producing a product for free. So we don't pay with our wallets. Like, we don't vote with our wallets when it comes to a service like Facebook.
Yeah.
All right. We vote with usage. However, Facebook has figured out how to make themselves so indispensable to so many people's lives it's hard to purely vote that way. You know, I mean, it's the same reason. It's very similar to why capitalism doesn't work with medical care. All right.
Yeah.
If you think a particular hospital is too expensive, sure, you don't have to go there and pay them. However, if you are in the middle of having a heart attack, you don't exactly have an opportunity to shop around.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. But I will say that when it comes to things like Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, we vote with our usage.
Yeah.
All right. And there is a lot of good legislation happening out there to make it easier for people to opt out of particular services. Mm-hmm. So like Facebook uses every trick in the book to track your usage of the internet outside of your use of Facebook itself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Which scary. Is super creepy and scary, but it happens. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, interestingly, I would say that it's Gen Z that is making Facebook really shake in their boots because they have come to age and realized that Facebook is not an integral part of their lives. And so they don't have to use it. And that scares Facebook executives to be like, hey, we are losing the most important demographic, which is teens.
But the problem is that Facebook also owns Instagram and WhatsApp.
Yep.
And plenty of people do use those who are also Gen Z.
Yes. But a lot of them are almost exclusively using TikTok, Snapchat, what other, and I'm sure there's other services I haven't even heard of because I am a hermit who just likes to live at home and I don't like people enough to interact with them that frequently and go searching for ways to interact with them. But the point that I'm trying to make is that that's how we vote. And I think that as younger generations are able to quote unquote vote earlier in age, you know, like I was already in college when I first started using Facebook.
Yeah.
All right. And for people who are younger than you and I, they are coming into this world and starting to interact with social media at a much younger age, you know, like at the age of 11 or 12, you can be like, you know what? No, these people at Meta or whatever are shady as hell. You know, I'm not going to use that.
Yeah.
That's not cool. So there is something, I just think that the world is still adapting to how to punish a corporation for bad practices in this new digital economic age where you don't have to pay for things using your wallet.
Yeah. Well, speaking of young people, I'm trying to think of my third and last superhero for the smorgasbord. And I'm trying to think of a superhero who's basically the superhero equivalent of Greta Thunberg. And who is that?
Miss Marvel. You think of?
Yeah, I was thinking Miss Marvel as well.
It would be Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's I was she also thinking Miss Marvel. Yeah. And
she would be doing exactly that.
That's true.
And rallying, if you remember, there was this one
rallying Gen Z. Yeah.
Yep. And if you remember, there's this one issue more towards the middle/end of G. Willow Wilson's run where she like got involved in this get out the vote campaign.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's true.
And I think she would be doing, if COP26 hit her radar at all, I think she would trying to do some sort of public awareness campaign for Jersey City.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at least hold the corporations that operate in Jersey City to account. Accountable.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think there are plenty of them there. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, there you go.
There you go. I do have one more hero that I want to ask you about.
Okay, fine. Last one.
Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Oh.
Wonder Woman.
Hmm. besides making like a very nice speech at COP26, I don't know.
Lasso of truth.
Okay, fine. She would use that. But like, how? What do you think? She's going to just like lasso every world leader to do what exactly?
I think that if Batman told her like, hey, so-and-so is lying about what their country is doing and what their actual policies and intentions are, she would like use the lasso of truth, maybe even just like let it lie on the ground so that they step on it. And then that said world leader gets up there and is just like, we have no intention of keeping any of our commitments. We're actually just saying this to make y'all shut up.
Yeah. Okay.
I think she would do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what she should do. Really utilize the power of truth.
And then
truthiness.
But then what?
See, I don't know. I mean, it ends up being a huge thing. And the way international affairs works, all right, is a lot of people are like, oh, international law is so stupid, because it's not like if you're in a country and you rob somebody where the cops can show up and arrest you and stuff. But international affairs really works a lot on peer pressure. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit like rules at a dinner party, like etiquette rules at a dinner party. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that if a country is exposed to be flat out lying about something, all right, mm-hmm. or they end up backing out of a treaty that they have signed and ratified, all right, then what ends up happening is that down the road, other countries will be wary about doing trade with them, about trusting them. And it has a more long-term impact. It moves slower. All right.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is a long game.
It is. And that is just how international law works. That is the real true enforcement mechanism. All right. Like, for example, China's economy in the last 40 years at this point has really boomed. It's become the second largest economy in the world from in the early 80s being a country that was barely on the global GDP radar, right? A big part of that is international trade and their ability to do international trade. And now at this point, they do a lot of infrastructure projects around the world, all right, in a lot of smaller countries, and they exert a lot of soft power through that.
Yeah.
However, if it becomes known, if it becomes public, all right, that they are extracting deals from countries and not holding up their end of the bargain, all right, eventually, even smaller countries that and less developed countries that could use those infrastructure projects, they would start to say no. They would start to say, no, we are not going to accept your gift because we know it comes with too many strings attached.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
And that has an impact. I mean, it's hard to see that at from where we are in day-to-day life, but it's there, it exists, and it is actually very, very powerful. All right. Yeah. I mean, these sorts of things have an impact on a country's ability to continue to prosper, to continue to provide for its own defense. And it makes it extremely difficult then for its citizens to operate globally, you know, like just for example, a few weeks ago, we covered the show Squid Game. And one of the big things we talked about in that episode was South Korea's cultural influence, surging cultural influence around the world. All right. Mm-hmm. If all of a sudden it became known that South Korea as a country was breaking treaties or not keeping up its international commitments and whatnot, it would all of a sudden, you know, like different countries, not necessarily the United States, but different countries may stop giving visas to South Korean citizens, for example. Mm-hmm. All right. And then BTS wouldn't be able to go to wherever to have a concert.
Yeah.
All right. And that has an impact on South Korea's ability to exert soft power and increase its cultural influence. So it is slow moving, but the mechanisms are there and it does have a long-term and very serious impact. So
well, that's the thing about
Wonder Woman and the Lasso of Truth.
I mean, definitely not my top favorite, I think, to superhero to send if she's only going to have long-term tactics that'll help, because climate change is such an urgent issue and we need to do something like 10 years ago.
I think so, though, that the way Wonder Woman is, she would start to get really ticked off and pretty aggressive in the face of these world leaders.
Yeah, she would.
She wouldn't put up with their misogynism. And let's be honest, everybody knows that she can pick them up and throw them to the other side of the hemisphere.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like that is a very physical threat and no amount of Secret Service is going to be able to stop her.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty much, you know, like, let's just get Greta Thunberg all the power and make something happen. That's pretty much all we need at this point.
I mean, I don't know if she would necessarily be able to solve it herself. She herself has said, I'm a kid. You need to solve it.
Yeah.
All right. And she's right.
Yeah.
She's absolutely right. I personally don't trust this boomer generation that's in power, you know, at least in the US, you know, they came, you know, the 80s were all about greed is good, you know, and screw the climate or whatever. Screw these hidden costs as long as you're making a buck.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. And that is, unfortunately, at least in the US, still the generation that is in power in way too many seats.
Yeah.
You know, so
all out war it is.
Huh? All out war it is. All right. All right. So we're back in Aquaman on this, huh?
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
You know, we would also die, right?
That's fine. It's fine. We're also dying on a...
We were on our way out anyways, just long and slow and with a lot more cancer involved.
A lot more wildfires and floods involved. Yep. Anyway, okay then. Well,
all right.
Thanks for tuning in to our superhero smorgasbord episode. As always,
you enjoy this cheese board of superheroes.
Thanks for listening.
That's what a smorgasbord is. It's a cheese board. Yeah. All right. Catch you next time.
Bye.